Popcorn Junkies, welcome to our review of Immaculate. Oh, yeah, love a nun. As you know, I'm a huge nun fan for all the right reasons and all the wrong reasons, and I won't go into the wrong reasons here. I'm not a Catholic, I haven't got any Catholic guilt. I've got guilt, but I haven't got any Catholic guilt. But no, I do like a nun film. I do, you know, I don't know, there's something about them. It's I don't, the habit, the look, the feel. The chastity, I don't know, there's something about it all that's a bit kind of weird and kind of whacked out and kind of potentially frightening and kind of controlling and all that kind of stuff. Now, I know a lot of people have had bad experience of nuns, so I'm not being lighthearted about it, but I am talking about it as a kind of genre of film, a sort of nunsploitation, a nunsploitation film. So this is a review of Immaculate, which is the new Sydney Sweeney movie, new Sydney Sweeney horror film, pivoting around her playing a young nun who goes into retreat, goes to a nunnery, goes to a convent, takes a vow of chastity and not poverty, but won't take any, you know, won't live a life of luxury in that ascetic lifestyle. And this is a horror film that kind of really pivots around her, her body, and it's a kind of it's body horror, but it's also about a woman's sort of autonomous right to make choices and be in control of her own body. So it comes at quite an important time, I think, in terms of American politics around abortion and things like that. Though that is not front and center in this. This is a schlocky, kind of tongue-in-cheeky, quite bloody and gory, Suspiria vibes, think Rosemary's Baby, but lacking perhaps even the kind of sophistication of something like Rosemary's Baby, but much more in the sort of area of Dario Argento's sort of Suspiria and that whole sort of grand guignol kind of, you know, sort of slightly camp, slightly erotic kind of horror. Though I have to say the eroticism in this film is a much more complicated concept because really it pivots around, I think, Sydney Sweeney's star status. Sydney Sweeney, the actress, she came to fame. We all got to know her in Euphoria. She was in a recent film, very sort of unlike most of the other stuff that she's been in, called Reality, in which she played a whistleblower in America. And it was based upon real FBI kind of recordings of her being arrested and interrogated. And she's very, very good in that. I think she was in Captain Webb. What was the Madam Webb or something? Was she in Madam Webb? So she's quite mainstream. She's quite popular. She's incredibly pretty. She's buxom. She's beautiful. And her role in Euphoria is that she's the sort of ditzy, over-emotional blonde, who's a bit silly and da-da-da-da. And I think why her kind of star status is important is that I think this is quite a clever film in casting. And it's a film that kind of throws a sort of spotlight on something that doesn't often get talked about, which is how the casting process of, say, a star can engage with what the kind of populist dialogue about that star is. And I think with Sydney Sweeney, there is this idea that she's buxom, she's beautiful, she's blonde, she bucks the trend, she's not ashamed or afraid to show herself off and exploit that and take advantage of that. But she's sharp, she's smart, and just because she's pretty and buxom and all these kind of things doesn't mean she can't be a sharp, modern woman with a brain and the ability to make her own choices. And I think in a weird way, this film is all about that and is made all the stronger in terms of its subject matter because of that aspect to her star status, if you like. So what is this about? This is about a young girl. We discover in the film that she's had a traumatic past. She's had a trauma. She was nearly drowned, or she was caught under ice, I think, a la almost like the Omen films. Do you remember? That seems to be a nice thing, doesn't it, around religion and vicars and priests. It's like you get caught under ice anyway, and they say, or she says, that she died, essentially died for 7 minutes, and then was revived. And this comes out later in the film, but that this is her background. She's gone into retreat. She's gone to a nunnery. She's gone to a sort of, it's not a nunnery because there are priests there too. It's not just women. It's a convent. It's a kind of, I don't know, it's a monastery of some, you know, some form. She, right at the beginning, you know, we're given a clear sign. She's you know, she's coming into the country from America. You know, she's kind of interrogated, or her papers are gone through by two really sort of, you know, slimy Italian customs officers. No, sort of not customs officers, but border police. And they're kind of saying, what a waste. You're going into the sisterhood. What a, you know, you're throwing away. Or look at all this opportunity. Again, sort of talking about her sexually. But she kind of, you know, big eyes, and she is big eyed and she's kind of doughy eyed and she's innocent. She's like, well, what do you mean? No. And she heads off. But we all know it. We've gone to see Immaculate because it's a horror film. So we know it's not going to go well. Oh, yeah. Right at the beginning of the film, we've seen a nun trying to escape the monastery. She gets so far, but then falls. And then we had a moment where she gets her leg caught by hand through the railings of the gate. They pull a leg back and they snap it, and they snap it badly. So this is not a film for the faint-hearted. There's blood, there's broken bones, there's gore. Not too much gore, but there's enough gore to, you know, I think, yeah, it's a bit gory. And that first snap, be warned, is it really gets you. But it clearly earmarks the fact that this is not a nice place. And in many ways, this film is quite nostalgic, a little bit like another film that's been released recently, Mother's Instinct. It has aspects of the Hammer House of Horror, sort of. You're kind of settling into something and you're thinking, oh, this is really horrific, but actually I feel quite safe. This is kind of like, it's like we're in the 1970s. And, you know, because what we go for then is the classic device of she arrives at the monastery and everyone's lovely. And it's like, oh, hello and welcome. And here's where you're going to sleep. But then you see someone sort of walk past the door who looks a bit dodgy or muttering to themselves. And you've got other sisters and other nuns who are a bit competitive and a bit nasty and a bit bitchy. And you're like, She's asked to make a vow of chastity. I always find, does anyone else find the kissing of a priest or a papal or a pope type person's ring? Ugh, it's so pseudo-sexual. It's so sort of, it's so controlling. Anyway, so she makes this vow to this, you know, group of men, male priests. And what we discover, she has classic dream sequences. There's lots of jump scares and all this kind of stuff. But then we start to get weird things happening. So like one particular nun hurls herself off the top of the building because she's obviously been forced to hide the truth of something. And when we see her mangled body in the cloisters, I'm not joking, the close-ups of her mashed up face, the director really goes in for not just a sort of medium close-up, but then a close-up, but then an extreme close-up, and then a big, big, big extreme close-up. It's pretty mucky, and her nose cavity is not pleasant. So, you know, we've got a bit of that. Another nun at another point who kind of, you know, decides to kind of stick up for Sydney and say, what's going on here? This is awful. Gets a tongue cut out. But essentially what they're trying to, the men who run this place are trying to suggest that this is a nice nunnery. You know, this is, you know, we're fastidious, we're religious, we're, you know, all this kind of stuff. But what happens? What happens is that she finds herself, she gets pregnant. She discovers she's pregnant. She's flummoxed by this because she hasn't had sex with anyone. And thus the title Immaculate comes in. So of course they all start to treat her like the Second Coming. It's like she's the Virgin Mary. How can we just talk for a minute about the whole concept or idea of an immaculate conception? Is it about, for any religious followers, and apologies because this film is in every way sacrilegious, blasphemous and everything else. But is there some aspect of the whole immaculate? Is it about the idea that sex is so sinful that for the Virgin Mary, for Jesus to have been born, no real act of sex could have happened? Or is it because God is so omnipotent? He's not impotent, but he's so omnipotent and he's everywhere. I hate to get sort of physically detailed about this. He's unable to do the deed, so it couldn't happen. It's more like an energy sex rather than a... I've always found it weird. Or is it just a way of kind of sidestepping the biological necessity for sex? I don't know. Anyway, she finds herself pregnant. Funnily enough, they've got all this dusty old kind of, you know, scanning equipment and kind of delivery equipment. And they can chuck her on a gurney. They can pop her legs in kind of stirrups and they can get in there and have a look, which they do. And she's pregnant, but she's disturbed by this. Now, what I liked about this film, and it's pretty... It's not brilliant, but it's kind of silly enough, gory enough, and distracting enough to entertain you. It's a perfect Friday night film. But what I liked about it that I thought was a really rich topic that I've not really come across before, though I'm sure there are films, you know, everything's been done before, hasn't it? One of the key narrative devices here about how she's got impregnated is that we discover, you know, all sorts of terrible things have happened to her. We haven't seen it, but, you know, something, she's been impregnated. But what they have is they claim to have one of the priest who's nicest to her, closest to her. He says, look at this. And he shows her a sort of rusty nail, a long, horrible nail with dried blood on it. And he says, this is one of the nails that they crucified Christ to the cross with. And in keeping with that idea from Jurassic Park, where in a blob of amber, they found a mosquito and then they took the DNA from the mosquito to create the dinos by mixing it with a frog. Sydney Sweeney's the frog in this equation. What they've done is it took them 20 years to develop a DNA extraction from the stained blood on the nail that went into Jesus. And by using that DNA, they've managed to put it in a spermatoza that they can then put in her egg. That means that she can then potentially give birth to the Second Coming, Jesus. a new Jesus. All of that I thought was really interesting, the kind of conflation of Catholicism, nunneriness, religiosity, spiritualism, the horrors of religion, and DNA science, genetics. I love that, this idea that this dark, twisted, religious kind of ambition could be combined with that other strange religion of science. I liked all that. Which kind of speaks to, and I found the scenes around her being inspected and scanned and all that kind of stuff. This does, you know how most horror films are a kind of expression or an articulation or a discussion through entertaining form, in an entertaining form of kind of the concerns or preoccupations that are going on in society at large and all that sort of stuff. And I do think this is a film about the horrors of not being in control of your own body and not having a say over whether you have a child or if you get pregnant, what you can do with that baby, and whether it's up to you or whether it's up to, you know, the community around you or the society or the structure or the civilization around you. Is it their choice or your choice? Whose choice is it to take control of your body? This is grand guignol. You know, as I say, we then see nuns having their tongues cut off. We see smashed up faces. And then we have this brief moment towards the end where, you know, Sidney Sweeney then decides, you know what, I'm not having any of this. I'm going to fucking run away. And of course, because of that first scene, you're thinking, don't run away. They're going to break your legs through the gates. It's not nice. Don't do it. But anyway, she feigns a miscarriage by using a dead chicken. But she didn't really hide the chicken very well, so then she's kind of rumbled quite quickly. So they do actually take her out, and they seek to rush her to the A&E, because of course she might be carrying Christ. She might have Christ in her belly. And then she gets out of the car, she runs. It's all a bit naff, this. None of it's believable. You've got to jettison, kind of, even within the horror stakes, how would she have got out of the car, and how could she run if she was actually still pregnant, because she's pretending that she wasn't pregnant by using a dead chicken or a headless chicken, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, they bring her back, they lock her up, they tie her down, all this kind of stuff. And then she breaks out, and we have this sort of labyrinthine scene where she, you know, she's going to be killed. Then, you know, the priest that's been closest to her, she sets fire to his DNA kind of laboratory. And so you've got all these kind of fetuses in bottles going up. And then he burns, and then she's chased down this corridor or through this labyrinthine kind of crypt, which was good. I was getting sort of barbarian vibes and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we even have a moment where she reaches for a blade, and there's a moment in this film where you think, oh my God, she's going to do a self-caesarean. And she starts, and you're like, no, you can't. This is dark and twisted in every conceit. But she's taking control. And of course, it plays out that finally we get to this final moment where, what I liked about the final shot in this film was that Sidney Sweeney played it really well. She's covered in blood. She's desperate. She's standing on a grassy knoll. It's quite religious almost, though. You think there could have been a sort of burning bush next to her and you wouldn't have been surprised. She's got pains. She's trying to get this baby out. She's screaming. She's giving birth. So she's obviously been provoked into some kind of early delivery. Her waters break and all that kind of stuff. And she's in agony, and she performs absolutely was the performance of her life, screaming, it's mucky, it's in your face, it's scary, and she finally gives birth. And I think I'm right in remembering, they pretty much hold this on a single shot of her screaming, big close-up, and then she gives birth to it. And then off camera, you can hear the mithering and sort of horrible, in fact, I was getting your Razorhead vibes, you know, the kind of the fetus. And you can hear this is not, as I say, if you've got any issues with pregnancy, delivery and birth, this is not the film for you. And then she wanders off, and then she finishes it off in a hugely sort of, you know, visceral, violent fashion. But what's clever is, whilst they've shown us so much blood and gore and caved in faces and tongues held in front of nuns' faces and all this kind of stuff, they don't show us what she squishes, but you have a sense that it might be a little hairy fucking nasty thing that's kind of like, could it be the devil? I thought we were going to get a Rosemary's Baby moment where they were going to leave us on a sort of, I don't know, could there be a sequel? No, she smashes it to smithereens with a stone. And in a way, this film is a film, indirectly a film about a woman taking control of her body and not having her body controlled by anyone else. I was kind of reminded a little bit, there was a film years ago by a director called Abel Ferrara called Miss 45. I think it was called Miss 45 as in a Colt 45, a gun. And I think the subtitle was Miss 45, Angel of Vengeance. And it was about a nun who goes, it's like a feminist revenge thriller where a nun, I think the nun has been raped, goes on a revenge mission to shoot the rapists. This is a film in that sort of category of, it's about empowerment and it's about a young woman pushing against everything. There are some kind of curious moments and touches in there. Like, for example, this is an odd thing to kind of home in on, but like, there's a very incidental scene where her character is talking to someone else in the nunnery in the convent, and she's having a wee. And you sort of think, well, you wouldn't expect to see that. And I think these little details are quite nice because it's, again, sort of speaks to the idea of, okay, you know, people might judge me for having a wee, but I'm a nun and I'm a woman and I'm pretty and I'm all these things, but I'm going to have a wee. And I don't know. I think this film is an interesting little sort of nugget or little kind of puzzle piece in what's shaping up to be quite an interesting actress with an interesting body of work behind her. And as I say, I think this whole film plays to the idea of what sort of a star Sydney Sweeney is. She's one of the producers on it. I think she was very much sort of behind this as a... Now, does it succeed as a film? I mean, you know, if I'm honest, I felt it needed to go a step further. I think it could have gone a little bit further, even in its, not comedy, but in its stretching the imagination. You know, sometimes with a Tarantino film, you can get to that gore fest moment where you're laughing with horror. This doesn't quite get you to laughing with horror. So in that sense, it more often than not falls short so that you think, oh, that was just bad. A lot of the supporting cast, most of the men, the main priest, bad. Bad performances. Some of the set pieces pretty obviously covered and obviously shot. An over-reliance, I would say, on just straight jump scares and then just gory moments. But I think, you know, Sydney Sweeney, you know, is in this film from the get-go. And she, again, I mean, I suppose she's very sort of... It's not nuanced. It's not sophisticated. It's an entirely functional horror film. But I think if you want to dig around in it, for more meaning and a sort of thematic, as I've said already, I think the thematic is around women taking control and having control and fighting for control of their bodies. If I was to score it, I'd give it 63 out of 100. Tell us what you think.